Welcome to Thresholds. I'm George Ryder. John McNamara won't be with us this week. He'll be back next week. My two guests tonight are Coco Das, who is a writer, an educator, and volunteer with Refuse Fascism, based in Austin, Texas, and Nikita X, who is a student activist, particularly with police brutality issues here in Houston. Coco and Nikita X, welcome to Thresholds.
Hello.
Great, we can hear you both. So, tell us about the Refuse Fascism, how it came to be, and what it's trying to get done here.
Okay, well, Refuse Fascism, our website is refusefascism.org, is a national movement made up of people from diverse perspectives, united around the recognition that the Trump-Pence regime poses a catastrophic danger to humanity and the planet. They started up after the election. I think it was in December that they had a big open meeting in New York City. There were several speakers. And then there was also a call that was put out in the New York Times, and the slogan in the call was, "No, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America." And in this call, they were laying out, you know, why this, you know, Trump-Pence regime represents fascism, and explained a little bit about what fascism was and how it advances in stages. And it also put forth to people, what is our responsibility in the face of this? What should the Germans have done in 1933 when Hitler came to power and, you know, perhaps the whole program was not known yet, but, you know, there were hints of it, and people, if Germans had had a chance to stop Hitler, should they have taken that chance? And we are putting forth that this is a grave danger to humanity, that we do need to stop it, and the way to stop it is through millions of people rising up in sustained, nonviolent political protests to raise the demand that actually this regime is not legitimate. All fascist regimes actually come to power through democratic means. That doesn't mean that, you know, they have a right to do what they're doing. So to raise this demand that this regime actually must step down from power. And, you know, there's a precedent for this happening in South Korea, the mass protests, 1.5 million people in the streets day after day, raising the demand that their president, who is very unpopular, who is very corrupt, that she be removed from power. You know, they ended up impeaching her, and, you know, she was removed, and they had new elections. So, you know, there's a precedent for this happening. There's a basis for it, because there are millions of people who are sickened every day by what's happening under this regime. And we are saying that we have a plan, you know, to create the kind of political crisis that's needed to actually, you know, make this regime step down from power. And there's an organization to lead it, which is Refuse Fascism.
Would you say more about the traits of the Trump-Pence regime that, that you see as fascist, and what you mean by fascism in this time and this place?
So, you know, fascism is not just a combination of, you know, horrific reactionary policies. It is actually a qualitative change in how society is governed. You know, it foments and relies on xenophobic nationalism, on racism, on misogyny. It, you know, defines a group, you know, like in Germany, they called it the Volk. You hear, like, in Trump's inauguration speech, talking about forgotten Americans, or a lot of conservative, you know, more right-wing, alt-right outlets will talk about real Americans. The group of people that's defined as being deserving of human dignity and deserving of the benefits of government is very narrowly defined. And then there is a whole, you know, list of other groups that are deemed as outsiders who don't deserve those things. So you can see how, you know, during Trump's campaign, he started on this, you know, talking about the, you know, Mexicans as racists. There's all these constant dog whistling to a very white supremacist base, you know, against immigrants. This attack that he waged against the NFL athletes who were refusing to stand for the national anthem, that's a part of this. You know, it's whipping up this one mandatory patriotism, but also, you know, defining that, you know, these people are not real Americans. They're not respecting the what real Americans respect, and they therefore they're not deserving of any respect in return. You can see the same thing, you know, when he said, like, FEMA can't stay in Puerto Rico forever. He's constantly using these slogans and messages that define an outsider group. And then, you know, there's also the rampant misogyny, the aggressive reinstitution of oppressive traditional values, the alliance with the Christian fundamentalists like Mike Pence. And, you know, this is another feature of fascism. It is, it's always an uncomfortable alliance of various conservative forces. And, you know, sometimes there are differences among them, but in the short run, at this moment, these various forces have decided to unite in order to advance their agenda. And, you know, we can see already what this agenda is. I mean, the Muslim ban, the, you know, banning of LGBT or transgender people in the military, you know, the attack on abortion rights, you know, there's a very rapid movement toward the a certain vision of society that they want, which is, you know, highly traditional, which is, you know, sort of harkening back to the pre-civil rights era, you know, before there was a women's rights movement, before there was a civil rights movement. And, you know, the emboldening of the sort of fascist street forces, the white supremacists, you know, the neo-Nazis, the people that marched in Charlottesville is also a part of this. I mean, these two forces work together. You've got the, you know, traditional elite at the top who have decided to make this alliance. And then you've got these street forces that will actually enforce this reactionary agenda on the ground through violence and terror if necessary, which is, you know, what we saw in Charlottesville.
Yes. Nikki Dix, did you want to add to that?
Yes. It was what Coco was saying about this qualitative change. It's not just random acts of violence, because we've seen that in America before. There's been countless acts of random acts of violence. But we have a president and we have a whole cabinet that is supporting this madness. As we can see, when Coco just mentioned about Charlottesville in Virginia, and where a protester was actually ran over, and Trump came on the news and said there was good people on one side, there was good and bad people on both sides. So as we can see that, you know, he hasn't came out and yet and denounced these alt-right groups. He hasn't said that, you know, what they're doing, it cannot be tolerated. He's actually encouraged this type of abusive behavior when he called those protesters bastards, with sons of bitch, sons of bastards. And so we can see with Jeff Sessions, with the Back to Blue Act, which would make it harder for victims of police brutality to sue. We can see that that people that oppose the police, they've also, you know, they said that it would be federal charges for people to come against the police in nonviolent protests. We can see that there is a black identity extremist. They're labeled now by the FBI the new terrorists. And so, you know, the new terrorists have been, if we look in this country, it has been these white terrorist groups. So why isn't there, you know, some statement made about that? But it's all over. This is not just, you know, just these, you know, random people that are, you know, coming up, you know, preaching this type of hatred. This is happening because we have a type of regime where these people in office do not care about black and brown people, LGBTQ people, immigrants. There has been a pardoning of the racist sheriff, Arpaio. And this racist sheriff that Trump pardoned with an executive order, when he pardoned this racist sheriff, this sheriff said that he ran his prison like a concentration camp. You know, he has said that he's illegally detained immigrants. He's ignored crimes against women. So this is the type of people that Trump is allowing to come to power. I've even seen that since Trump has been in office, there has been more hate crimes. I mean, these people in Charlottesville had Nazi flags marching down the street saying blood and soil, you know, and these are Nazi slogans that they're using. So I think people have to really be aware of what we're dealing with and see the importance of coming out and see the importance of saying, yes, this is a qualitative change from what we're used to. Yes, there has been random acts of violence, but now it's increasing and it's actually encouraged by this administration. I was reading as well that the Southern Poverty Law Center, they said that there have been 700 acts of hate crimes and violence related to Trump since he was elected. And I believe this was the first 2 weeks when he was elected that there has been this acts of hate and acts of violence against groups of people. And so a lot of this is going without punishment because, like we've already stated before, we have a president that backs this type of behavior. And it's also going through certain channels and abusing his power as president, as Jeff Sessions has abused his powers. And they're passing these type of hate crime laws. And this is a part of fascism, and this is what they do in fascism. They go through this system, and they use their power, and they abuse certain laws. Back to Blue Light, when he's talking to a police chief, he has the rally where he's telling the police chief, don't be too nice. If you bump their head against the wall, don't be too nice. But let's not forget that during his rally, this was the same type of mentality that Trump had. During his rally, when there were protesters, he was telling them, remember the old days when we used to, you know, knock them out get them out of here. So all of this violence has been encouraged. These fascists, these alt-right groups, white supremacists, now they have a leader. They have a leader that they can get behind. They have a leader who showed the world, who showed us that he's going to do whatever it takes to uphold white supremacy, and he's going to fill his cabinet with white supremacists. So this is what we're dealing with in society right now. So we have to be aware of what's happening, of what's going on, that these groups that are following Trump, whether he wants to say he's a part of an agenda or not, we can see what's happening. And I believe that we all have to stand up and we all have to use the courage, you know, and to call it for what it is, and it is fascism.
One of the things that was present in Germany in the 1930s that it isn't present here, however, was a sense of economic grievance in the country because of the requirements that were put on it from World War II. World War One. There was the an economic situation which was very tentative, and there was the fear of communism in the ruling classes. We don't have that situation here. We have there's not much fear of the left in the ruling classes, as far as I can tell. Tendencies of the society, of the economic tendencies of the society, in some way have been counteracted by Trump. He was responsible for closing down the TPP. His candidacy, I mean, the Republicans were ready to approve it, and Barack Obama, against most of his own party, was working to approve it, and his candidacy blew it apart. And he's now talking about NAFTA and closing down NAFTA because of no respect for our environmental labor laws. It's putting the corporations ahead of national identity, which is in some ways consistent with his position on, you know, U.S. first. But it also runs counter, I think, to the economic tendencies of capitalism in our time and place. So I'm wondering where the systemic force is going to be to make this kind of transformation in the internal life of our country, which is what you're talking about, this sort of bully in charge, basically deciding who's good and who's bad and who should be punished and who should be thrown out of the country and et cetera. And it's so I'm wondering how you see the systemic tendencies, what you've clearly identified, and I certainly see all that. How is that going to move in the direction of really giving these people the kind of power that you're talking about, over and above any sort of even the weak democratic constraints that we have?
Well, I mean, I think that any new form of fascism, when it emerges, it's going to emerge under, you know, not exactly the same set of circumstances. I mean, I think actually the issue of economic grievance has come up in the election. I mean, the media was all talking about these, you know, working class white Americans, you know, that the Democratic Party wasn't speaking to those people. So I think that economic grievance, you know, was actually put forth as a reason for Trump's rise. I would say that, you know, Trump is very much a capitalist. It's not that he's an anti-capitalist. I'm not an expert on, you know, all of the differences between, you know, the various forces that have aligned here. But, you know, one is, I think that there are moderate Republicans and, you know, more of the, you know, business Republicans who are actually having real differences with Trump's agenda and with the agenda of, you know, there are ways that all of this is clashing. But that actually, you know, is going to happen in any kind of alliance like this, where there are, I mean, if you read Steve Bannon's speech from the California GOP convention, he talks about this, the need for all of these different groups who actually, I think he may have even said, don't like each other that much, to work together in order to advance this agenda. I don't think that it's completely an economic anxiety or an economic motivation. But I think it is still systemic. And the way that they're advancing things systemically is that there are, you know, look at how they stole that Supreme Court seat. That was a seat that should have gone to a Democratic judge. You know, there are all these ways that they're actually kind of subverting these Democratic institutions, the way that they're actually, you know, seizing a lot of opportunities in order to eliminate checks and balances. So it's not that they are actually making a concerted deliberate effort to take over all the various parts of the government to actually, you know, take over the schools, to go into every corner of society. So it's not like it's actually a self-propelling thing. And I think that's something that Steve Bannon recognizes, that it's not self-propelling. If they want this, if they, you know, if Mike Pence wants a more biblical, theocratic government, they have to actually take certain steps to ensure that that happens. It's not going to happen by itself. And that is, you know, I think what this alliance is about. And are there differences and arguments and, you know, real breaks in this alliance? Yes. And I don't think that I'm the person to talk about, you know, exactly what all of that means. But I do think that they recognize that this is, they're seizing on a chance to reinstitute certain things. And it's not all economic. You know, maybe some of it actually is not in people's best interest economically. I'm not sure. I'm not an economist. But
most of what he's done has been certainly harmful to the working class. No question.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, a lot of it is outside of an economic program. It you know, feeds on cultural anxieties. It feeds on social anxieties, and, you know, and also, you know, it feeds on the stuff on Fox News and, like, all these alt-right sites have been putting forward for a long time, which is like very much against critical thinking, very much against liberalism or liberal education, and, you know, frankly against the truth. You know, that there's no alliance to the truth. Actually, they you know, there is no truth in their eyes. So, or there's these, you know, alternative facts or whatever they call it.
Yes.
You know, so it's changing, you know, it depends on people actually changing the way that they think about things, which is also extremely dangerous.
Yeah, it's also, I can't help but mention, it's also negating science. I mean, the whole thing with denying climate change in the face of overwhelming scientific evidence is really extraordinary. Nikita, you wanted to say something.
Yes, I just wanted to say something as well, and just piggyback on what Coco just said. You know, there's also these social anxieties in Charlottesville. Those the fascists that were marching down Charlottesville saying, "You cannot replace us." Trump has ran a campaign that has also attacked immigrants. And a lot of people have felt, you know, and this is an old fear, that they felt that because there are immigrants that is restricting, that means that they're in the way of the white working class of getting certain jobs. So it's also, too, it's a racial motivation, and it's also economic, but the economic is being overburdened. So when we talk about economics, it's being filled into this type of white supremacist agenda. You know, so if you side with white supremacy and you are a white identity extremist, so we'll flip that word to the black identity. If you're a white identity extremist, you know, what your problem is not the government that's oppressing you. That's not the reason why you're not getting a job. The reason why you're not getting a job is because there's so many immigrants here that they're taking the jobs that white working class people could have. And so Trump has ran off of that fear. And in Charlottesville, when they said, "You cannot replace us," they were talking about the immigrant, the Hispanic, pretty much the Hispanic population. There's a rise in the Hispanic population, and especially where we are in Texas. So I believe it's a play to these type of fears of being a white, of being outnumbered of the white population in America.
Nikita,
the majority.
I want to interrupt a little because we're running out of time, and I want to give people a chance for you to talk about what you hope to have happen. What's happening on November 4th? How are you going to try to stop this? What's the strategy for that?
Okay, so on November 4th, in cities and towns across the country, I think there are about 14 cities participating so far. We are calling for people to get into the streets. There's marches and rallies, including in Austin, and together marching in unity with conviction and courage to put a stop to the danger of the Trump-Pence regime. And we're just raising this single demand. This nightmare must end. The Trump-Pence regime must go. In Austin, we're going to be gathering at 1 o'clock at City Hall. We're going to be marching through a few blocks to Republic Square Park. We're going to be having another rally there at around 2:15, and then we're going to march again and then continue back at Republic Square Park. The idea of this actually is for people to keep protesting, to, keep going back day after day, night after night. You know, this will happen in various forms in various cities, but to not stop until our demand is met that the Trump-Pence regime must step down from power.
So this is intended to sort of break the logjam, to get people seeing lots of other people who also feel the same way, showing up for a consistent movement over time, to grow and invite more people in, and how can people get in touch with you if they want to go just to be in touch with you?
Absolutely. And, we have a lot of needs of, people giving rides to people from Houston to Austin. If you can donate money, if you can, come, if you can provide housing, if you live in Austin, you can email texas@refusefascism.org.
Texas@refusefascism.org, yeah?
Yes. Or you can email austin@refusefascism.org.
If you need a place to stay or a ride up or something like that.
Yes. If you have needs or if you have things you can offer, definitely get in touch. We've got 1 week before these marches and rallies happen, and we need everyone to get involved.
Coco Das and Nikita X, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us here and presenting this important political agenda to the audience.
Thanks.
Take care. We'll be back next week. Till then, have fun.